Early in my years in college, there was a national gathering of some folks related to the Presbyterian Church. It was called a celebration of evangelism. And some key leaders throughout our denomination got together and put on this event, and they were hoping to stimulate us and motivate us, help us be on the aggressive, taking the initiative in the sharing of our faith throughout the world. And I happened to have an interview with one of the planners of this event, one of the national planners, and he was describing for me its hopes and its dreams. And as a young person, it seemed electric to me, and I thought to myself, you know what? I will start a movement of the young people who are there, of the college people who are there. I will coalesce them in some fashion and say, hey, we're the future, and let's run with this. And this person planning the event at the highest level said, that's wonderful, way to go. Go for it, see what you can do. So I began to daydream about this, and my action plan was to generate a flyer. I generated a flyer. I was going to pass out at the opening and at the doors of all this thing as it got started, welcoming all, you know, people under 25 or under, this is probably under 25, you know, let's meet and let's really make something happen and build and grow and make this event count for our distant future. So I took the plane to Cincinnati. This was in Cincinnati, or it was here in Southern California, and my flyers under my arm. And I was traveling with my more immediate pastor, the pastor with whom I worked in the life of the church. And we're getting on the bus, and he says, you know, what's that under your arm? And I said, oh, these are the flyers. Well, what are those flyers about? I'm hoping to, you know, start a movement. He says, wow, that's a little grandiose, isn't it? You're a little big for your britches, aren't you? Where do you get off thinking you're going to start a movement? And I deflated, and I left my box of flyers in the overhead compartment on the bus that took us to our hotel. Is grand ambition consistent with mature Christian character? Is grand ambition, high hopes, impossible dreams, are these consistent with mature Christian character? My immediate pastor, his knee-jerk reaction was no. Our scripty, our programmed reaction, I think, often in the life of the church is no. We associate that kind of ambition, those kinds of intents, with supersized egos, with people who can't separate doing something from being somebody, who are imagining such things as ways to lift themselves up and become objects of adulation and worship. We see that, and when we hear a grand ambition, we fear that. Or we fear that it will become justification, that such high ends will justify terrible means. Violence. Coercion. I mean, a suicide bomber, a terrorist suicide bomber, has high ambition. They're intending to impact the world in a powerful way. And when we hear someone imagining doing some big, great thing, ticks off that fear, oh man, does this mean they're going to do violence to make this happen? In a literal, harsh way, or in a figurative way, an emotional way. Or when we hear it, we're inclined to think, oh man, this person is not serious. This person is a dreamer. Serious people don't have ideas like that. This is escapist, make-believe, dreamer stuff. Not a serious person. And Christian maturity is about being serious. So it seems to me, oftentimes, in the life of the Christian community, our scripty answer is grand ambition consistent with Christian maturity. Our programmed answer, the answer that comes up quickest, is no. I'm interested in one phrase in particular in our text this morning. Apostle Paul says, here I was the least of all, but grace was given to me to bring this news to the Gentiles, to overcome the chasm we talked about last week, and bring this good news about God's love to everyone, to overcome this terrible racial divide. And then he goes on to say, and to make everyone see what the mystery is. And as I look at that phrase, I think, man, could he have had a bigger idea? Could it have been a grander ambition? I want to make everyone see the mystery of God. It couldn't be bigger. What he aspires to do, what he intends to do. Now we've noted that as Paul is writing this, as he's expressing this ambition, he's in prison. So clearly, unless he's in some really crazy denial, he can't be imagining that this idea is going to make him, bring him glory. That pursuing this vision is going to end up making him a rich, famous, powerful person. It isn't that. And clearly he's not in a position to be enforcing this vision or to be coercing anyone with any kind of violence about it. He's in prison. And clearly he can't be dreaming. He's not in some carefree way going about a happy existence dreaming about this incredible possibility. He's incarcerated. It's a serious thing. And it's a beautiful thing, and it has a hold of him. I'm here to make everyone see the mystery hidden in Christ. It wasn't necessary for my pastor at the time to discourage me. Life would have taken care of that. It would have happened. The reality or the potential in that dream would have shaken out. It isn't helpful for us to discourage one another. God can handle it. Our resolve will be tested. There will be resistance. We'll end up in prison of some sort. We don't need to undercut one another with the sense that grand ambition is not appropriate in a maturing Christian. Sometime a little later in life, I was talking with another pastor whom I admired, senior person, accomplished person, and I was describing some thoughts to him, and he said, boy, those are really interesting thoughts. And I was puffed up by his encouragement, and I said, Yes, you know, I think I'll write a book about that. And he said, I'll look forward to reading it. I'll look forward to reading it. Of course, I didn't write it, and I have no idea what those ideas were in that particular conversation, but I remember that I was encouraged, not discouraged. Is grand ambition consistent with Christian maturity? Yes, absolutely. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? To make the world a better place, to advance the kingdom of God. Is it big? Is it grand? Thanks be to God. It's perfectly consistent with being a grown-up Christian person. To have an intention to do a big thing, a great thing, to be willing to sacrifice for it, to realize that it's serious. Inasmuch as our ego is mixed up in it, God will take care of that. We simply can't leave the world to the ambitions only of those who are driven by their ego or by a desire to enhance only a small slice of the world at the expense of others. Paul's message, what he wanted to get across, is that Jesus had grand ambitions to save the world and present the people of earth to God as beloved children. And he wouldn't be budged off that aspiration. And it threatened people and they killed him for it. And the fullness of the message is God raised him up. So we say of Paul, oh yeah, that was a big idea you had, Paul. Big goal you had. You ended up in prison and martyred. But here's the thing. We're still reading his letter. It's not done yet. His aspiration to make everybody see is still alive. It's still percolating. It's going throughout the world. Christian maturity means keeping our grand ambitions. What do you want to do?